Blog Talk Radio.
This is for that little child with no father, for that man that doesn't have a place to stay, for that little boy living with AIDS.
Can I tell you a story, tell you a story?
You can lean on me.
There's a man, standing on the corner. He has no home, he has no food, and his blue skies are gone.
Yes, it is.
Can you hear him crying now? Here's my shoulder, you can lean on.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and I'm blessed to welcome you all here once again to Daughters of Naomi for this Wednesday, January the 11th, 2023. Now, tonight, I'm being joined by two of our anointed sisters from Spirit Alive Sisterhood in the persons of Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell and Pastor Vanessa Carver. And we have a few Boazes in the house as well. Now, our program tonight is entitled, Sister, We May Be Different, But God's Love Is the Same. But before we begin, let us go to the Lord with a word of prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come before your throne of grace just asking, Lord God, that I decrease so that you might have all of the increase, Lord, and receive all the glory, honor, and the praise. Lord, I thank you for every sister that is present, every sister that may be on the way, and every one of our sisters that wanted to be here but could not. We ask that you continue to bless them, bless our listeners, oh God, and just use all of us here tonight, hallelujah, to pour into your people so that they might be transformed into the likeness of your son, Jesus. It is in your precious and holy name I do pray. Amen. Sisters, saints of God, Boaz is the present. All Boaz is present. The beginning of 2023, the Lord has, we're only 11 days into the new year. But the Lord began with me at the end of 2022. He has really been pressing it on in my heart to really make sure that the ministry is being effective, I am being effective, that we are truly making an impact for the kingdom, and that we are truly including everyone in our ministry. Now, I know that many of you, although many of you belong to local churches, I want you to know that when I started Spirit Alive Ministries over 13 years ago, I was not planning to start a quote-unquote black Christian podcast network. I was creating a global Christian podcast network. So that is, so that's the title of tonight's program. Sister, we may be different, but God's love is the same. Because I wanted to do this program because if the most diverse place in eternity is going to be heaven, then I really think it's about time that we were an example of that down here. If we expect to live in diversity in the kingdom, then our churches should reflect that now. But I believe that one of the major faults or the detriment of the Christian church in America is that it keeps valuing race and its cultural identity much more than the values, it values the divine identity of Jesus Christ. You know, so many churches in America, we tend to just worry about our own. And I believe that this is a spiritual problem that is stifling evangelism efforts. And it's really just, you know, hijacking brotherly and sisterly unity within the body of Christ. Racial and cultural walls of division and separation are getting wider and wider, and they will become deeper and taller as our country becomes more and more diversely populated and as things get harder, you will see how that can be played out in every walk of life. But I believe that scripture is crystal clear that local churches, all churches, should work diligently and deliberately to reflect the racial and diversity complexion of its community and mission field. For instance, I want every daughter of Naomi to consider, what does being a daughter of Naomi look like in, let's say, the Hamptons versus the hood or the barrio or the Sudan or Jordan or Brazil? You know, what? How does that play out? Are we really taking the time to find out what is important to them, what they may be going through? Because, people of God, regardless, if we ever have one person that takes a mission trip or goes to a place where there's a different ethnicity, I want you to know that I believe that every church, every body of believers should have a clear strategy to reach and influence every single solitary person with the gospel of Jesus Christ. No one, and I do mean no one, should be excluded, especially because of their race, especially because of their economic background, because of anything. We should not exclude anybody. Jesus said, whosoever will, let them come.
Yeah.
I'm also here to call you on the carpet about a thing. Listen to me. If your church is located in a community or near a community that is truly racially or culturally diverse, but the members of your church, your congregation, don't reflect that community, there's a problem. But praise God. That's why Apostle Cook is doing this program, because we're going to talk about strategies tonight. We're going to do some discovery tonight, and we're going to get some things clear tonight. When we are talking about making everyone inclusive, our first strategy should be to offer the love of God to everyone that we see, everyone in our community, everyone on our, everybody. You see, the salvation message of John 3:16 is a reminder that the gospel of Jesus Christ is for everybody. That scripture did not say, for God so loved the Jews, or for God so loved black folks, or for God so loved, no, it said, for God so loved the world. The world. Okay? So no one should ever be excluded from hearing the greatest news ever given to the whole wide world. And if you're sitting in a church and you don't see them intentionally representing the love of God and showing respect to everybody, especially those that they think they don't deserve, please start praying. Hallelujah. And let me give you, let me let you in on another little thing. This is the power of the gospel. You see, the power of the gospel is the less people deserve it, the more they need it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if we're going to start moving toward ministries and toward churches that are inclusive, that are meeting the needs and ministering to the issues, everyone, then we need to offer the love of God to everyone. And then we need to start looking at things from a biblical view instead of a world view. See, when we approach our community, our church, we should, in our churches, we should be having an eternity mindset, not a right here and now mindset. Okay? In Revelation 7, 9 through 10, we are given a beautiful picture of the redeemed people of God gathered around the throne of God, worshiping him and praising him together. These redeemed people are divinely described as a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Now, my question to everybody is, if this is what the church is going to look like in eternity, then somebody please tell me why the church can't be an earthly example of that today. And I think we would be more inclusive if we all would get a gospel-centered church and not a political-centered church or a money-centered church. Yeah, I said it. Or an agenda-driven church. But we need to make sure that we are operating gospel-centered ministries and churches so that there is nothing more important to any community than preaching the gospel of Christ. But I want you to beware of public political alignment, because they can easily and quickly divide and alienate the people we are trying to reach with the gospel. See, as followers of Jesus, we must pray for and respect our political leaders, but we should never allow politics or politicians to hijack the mission of the church. The mission of the church should always be to reach all people of all colors, cultures, and classes with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Keep in mind, it's the gospel that's the hope of the world, not the politicians or their politics. It's Jesus.
Amen.
You know, I often tell people, I heard a young man say, oh my goodness, you would be just the type of person that would make an excellent city council member. I said, no, I wouldn't. I said, because I haven't been called to be a city council member. I've been called and sent to be a messenger of the Most High God. Now, I said, hear me clearly. I don't mind praying for the politicians, advising the politicians, but I don't want to get anybody confused. I don't want anything to get in the way of my real mission, and that is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in general, American churches, I'm going to tell you right now, cultures are not right and wrong. They're simply different. It's our culture that defines our people group, worldviews, likes and dislikes. However, we should not allow our cultural differences to become points of conflict or controversy. We should be encouraging everybody in our churches and ministries to learn about other cultures. I'm serious. And we're going to talk a little bit later on about some things that we can do as sisters in Christ to make sure that we uplift all our sisters, and how we can brainstorm to get to know them better and see what problems exist in their cultures, see what problems they have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. So we need to learn about other cultures. And whether we plan on taking a mission trip to that country or not, we just need to learn them, because you can learn a lot from them. And then we need to practice holy humility. Because, when we walk in holy humility, that lets people know, one, that we care. And it's just easy to be stubborn, arrogant, or resistant regarding ethnic and cultural differences. But see, when you can humble yourself, when you're able to look at something from another sister or brother's point of view, you know, when you approach it with the spirit of holy humility, hallelujah, you will learn how to reach across those divides. You can learn how to overcome those biases and those prejudices. You will learn how to develop, how to sincerely listen, learn, and understand other cultures. And you will be seeking out opportunities to do so. Now, if you're a servant leader and you're within the sound of my voice, I have some questions that I want you to consider about your church or your ministry. I just want you to reflect on these. I want you, when you're off by yourself, I want you to think, is biblical diversity truly represented at the highest level of leadership in my church? Am I really including people in a way that our community is represented? And then am I edifying these saints so that they can reach the highest level in ministry? Are we looking for that biblical diversity? Are we embracing it? Are we looking at the way we screen our volunteers for ministry? Are we really making sure that everybody is represented at the table? You need to think about that. Because, see, the problem with just preaching or teaching, according to the problems we might face here in America, is that Maria, who might have a different set of problems because she comes from a different background where the government structure is different and things of that nature, or what about a sister in the Ukraine right now? You know, are we really being sensitive to them? Are we really teaching in a way that no matter whether they're sitting in the United States or not, their lives can be touched? Listen to me. The triune God is love, and God freely created the world as an outpouring of that love. Creation is intensely diverse, and our God loves everything in it. He said everything he created was good. And even as we turn against God and our neighbor, God's love still remains constant. The word of God says this is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his Holy Son into the world that he might live through him. We might live through him. This is love. Yes. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Jesus Christ is the revelation of the eternal mystery of God's love for the world. In perfect humility and compassion, God became human to seek and save the lost. God didn't try to accomplish this from a distance, beloved. In Jesus Christ, God became part of creation to rescue creation from itself.
Mm-hmm.
For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Everything is included within the scope of God's reconciling love in Christ. That is the radiant fact of the center of Christian faith. And it is the ultimate source of commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. The Holy Spirit awakens people to the reality of God's love for the world in Christ. When the advocate comes, whom will I send to you from the Father? The Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father. He will bear witness about me. As the Father sends the Son into the world, so the Son sends believers into the world with the message of reconciliation. See, a knowledge of the gospel leads to the confidence in God's love. And Jesus is our hope and our life in life in death. So what we've got to make sure that we're doing is effectively ministering to every soul so that they might have hope in Jesus Christ. Paul said, I become all things to all people so that I might reach some for Jesus. But you see, because knowledge of the gospel also leads to humility. Since Jesus Christ is the truth, Christians are freed from the illusion that truth is our possession. Nope, not ours. All God's. We belong to Jesus. He doesn't belong to us. The gospel resists every form of ideological thinking that conflates the will of God with our own interests and agendas. You know what the Word of God says and how God thinks about pride, okay? He lines up everything that he is against it. So when we start wanting to do things our way, we're going to decide who we're going to minister to. We decide how we're going to minister to them. I would be careful if I was you. Because God is going to knock down every form of pride. You see, because the sovereign love of the Spirit of God, it frees us to confess our complicity in structures of injustice and oppression, but to become generous conversation partners. We need to be always willing and ready to learn something from people that are different from us.
Yeah.
You know, we should really be interested in what they have to say. Because you know what? Just like we might have questions about them, they might have questions about us.
Yeah.
And remember, people sitting in other countries only know about us what they see on television or read in the newspaper. So as people of God, we've got to rise above all that and just simply bear witness to the ministry of Christ. You know, we have to take comfort in the knowledge of God because he first loved us. We should seek reconciliation across all boundaries that divide us because Christ reconciles sinners to God, and he has broken down all dividing walls that separate people and communities from one another. We should be out there seeking peace because Christ is our peace, and he calls his people to be a community of peace. We should be out there seeking justice for everybody because Christ is our justice, and he calls his people to do justice. We should be out there seeking freedom because Christ himself has set us free and calls everyone to live in his freedom. And we should seek inclusion because Christ's atoning sacrifice is for the sins of the whole world, and because God's plan is to gather all things to himself. So this is what, when I had this thought in mind about, are we reaching people? Are we truly ministering to their souls? Are we just glossing over the word, you know, and hitting the problems that we have? As we look around today, sisters in Christ, daughters of Naomi, we can see so much carnality and hypocrisy in the church, and people are accepting behaviors, carnal, sinful behaviors, as the church's new normal. Well, see, my sisters, they may want to do that at their own risk, because we know, although the church may have a new normal, God's word remains the same, and we should be making sure that we're reaching out in a way that our sisters, whether they live in Jamaica, whether they live in the UK, whether they live in the Ukraine, or whether they live in Santa Barbara or in New York, we want to share this gospel in a way that they will feel loved, they will feel accepted, they will feel honored, they will feel like they're being held up, because there will be those of us that will bear their burdens with them. So I want to get into the spiritual sauce right now, and we're going to kind of chop it up and see where everybody's head is on this, and maybe we can come up, brainstorm with some things that we can do to make sure that we are being totally transparent, totally inclusive, because, and we're going to discuss more why. Pastor Vanessa, beloved, why don't you come on in the room and let the Lord use you? Take your time, take your time.
Thank you, Apostle Cook. And thank you for that intro into a call up for this need. There are so many things that I could say about this subject, because I tell you, this started wanting to be diverse, culturally diverse, and being drawn to that as a child. I was raised here in Indiana, and so there wasn't a whole lot of diversity. I'm just being honest, as I was growing up. So my soul craved that. So I would watch certain things on TV and get certain books to find out about different places of the world. I love National Geographic. And I believe that these are the things that God put in me. At the same time, I hadn't really come to Christ. I wasn't really walking with God to the point where I understood about outreach or diversity. And it felt like more of a hobby and an interest. To hear you talk about this tonight lets me know how about four or five, well, probably was over 10 years ago, I had a conversation with a sister in Christ who was African-American, just like me. And she said she had prayed a prayer once, because we were talking about all these different cultures. Spanish class all through high school and all through college, because I was very interested in, you know, Hispanic cultures from all over the world. I even visited Latin America as well. So there were things that aesthetically I was attracted to, and I knew it. And I said, you know what, it's so crazy. As much as I was having a conversation with her, as much as I am so interested in other cultures and people, why don't I have a friend that is of another race? It was just really starting to bother me. It started to bother me. And so, you know, I had even, I went as far as when I was in my late 20s and early 30s, I had pen pals from all over the world. So that lets you know there was something there that just wasn't cultivated. And I was looking at it in my five senses. I wasn't really asking God how to outreach or how to share, but I do remember in many of my letters, I tell you, I had letters from all, I had pen pals from all over the world, literally, that we would write. And I would share my faith with them, and they would share their faith with me. And I wish I probably would have to really dig to find those letters, because I still have them to this day.
Amen.
And now since everything has gone high tech and stuff, I wonder if I could even find them. But I do remember us sharing our lives, sharing our goods and bads with each other, sharing our interests, and a lot. And some of us were actually Christians, and some of them were not. And I still respected, you know, their beliefs. And this is what I have to say about this topic. I have to say about this topic is that it brings me back to that place. You speaking about this and saying, how can we make a difference? It convicts me, if anything, because she said she prayed. That's what I wanted to finish. She said she prayed for friends that would be of another race, and God answered her prayer.
Amen.
Not only was her job like that, but she ended up going to another country to do internship because she's in law school. And so I said something as simple as that, you know. And it's like, I prayed that just like she did, nothing happened. And so I kind of just felt like, Lord, and you know what he told me one day? I kind of just put it on the shelf and just kind of walked away from it and allowed everything else to kind of take precedent at the time, priority at the time. And one time I began to talk to him about it again, and he said, you can't see these cultures as a novelty.
These there
are
you go.
You,
go
it's
ahead,
not
man.
A hobby. It's
Come
not
on,
a hobby.
Break it
and
out.
So once I started to get honest with myself in that area, it kind of stayed in that place. I didn't deny it, but I'm like, he said, it's not a novelty. You have your heart posture towards people of another race can't be like, oh, how many languages do you know? Oh, I wonder if I can share. You know, it can't be that way. You have to really be invested in the cares that they have. Like you were saying, they're mm-hmm. things that they may be confronted with. And
they're
so
day-to-day.
I always wanted to work for the United Nations from that very
Amen.
Place. And God said, okay, if you're in the kingdom, you can't look at it like that anymore.
Right.
I believe that to purify my intent and my motives, I have to confront that. But this conversation is really good because I had invested years and years and years in, quote, unquote, a hobby. I still love other languages, but have I really
right.
delved into anything? No. I study a lot of this self-study and
uh-huh.
all kinds of cultures, especially right now in the Jewish culture for a lot of other reasons.
Right.
But I believe it's like having a come to Jesus moment when he starts dealing with you about how you see other cultures, because that's our topic, versus how he sees other cultures. So
yes, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
Amen.
You, Pastor Vanessa. That's awesome. And you know what? You are. So, I love how you brought out it is not a hobby. You know what? We have to stop seeing people as projects. Okay? They are not projects.
Exactly.
They are not flavors of the month. When we are ministering, we are trying to set an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can draw and people can be saved, you know? And it's easy. You know, it might be easy. And Mother Mitchell, I'm gonna get to you, Mother Mitchell. We got plenty of time, but I just wanted to get this before. Yeah, I just want to get this in. You know, it might look like it's easier. Let's say Sarah in the Hamptons, okay, she might have all that money, but but you know what? We still can't say, well, she's rich. She, you know, she's got her reward. You know, why should we care about her problems? Well, we should care about her problems because God does. Or mm-hmm. we see Shakita coming up Martin Luther King Street. And they don't, you know, they might not dress as nicely as we may, or, you know, they might not look like they're some, quote, unquote, somebody. Well, they out here look like they're doing what they want to do. Why should I care about their soul? Because God cares about their soul.
Yeah.
See, when I talk about I'm talking about diversity. We're talking about not just racially, but economically, because there is a problem in the church where the church wants to cater to those that get the most money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's wrong. The Lord says exactly the opposite from that. He says, do not give favor to people based on what they give. But, you know, so if you have in the church, you somebody. If you have not in the church, then you know, they're not really concerned about what's going on with you. And that is wrong. We can't push anybody out for any reason. We have to be prepared to stand and deliver that gospel. And we demonstrate our humility when we do see that sister, and she doesn't look like you, you know, but you walk up to that sister and you smile at her and you ask her how her day was, you know, that is the beginning of an opportunity for you to share the love of Christ with her on a deeper level. It doesn't take a whole lot. I get so frustrated with churches that have to have meetings for everything. We're going to have a meeting to discuss where we're going to evangelize this Saturday.
What's wrong with getting
your butt up at everybody you happen to run into on your way to the store, on your way to the wherever you going, the hair, the beauty shop, on your way to that restaurant? Why don't you just start evangelizing? Why do we need meetings to do what God told us to do?
Right, right. Amen.
Why do we have to, if God so loved the world, why do we have such a problem ministering to the addict, ministering to the prostitute, ministering to the rich, sadity, bougie woman? Why do we have so much problems doing that? You know, people sitting up here envying people because they rich, for what? See, I'm glad I'm poor. Because I know anybody that deals with me, they deal with me because they love me, because I don't have nothing to give them. Nothing. But, say, Rich Becky up in the Hamptons, that might be her pledge. We might need to show her how to just trust God, you know, and how to pray so that she might attract the right people into her life. Or she might find some wonderful things to put her money to good use. Or whatever the case may be, everybody has issues. There is nobody down here on the face of this earth, on no continent, in no country, that does not have an issue that they don't need Jesus for. So, Mother Mitchell, I'm going to stop right there and let you come on in now, and we'll give some other people we got time, so you come on in and take your time and bless us with what God has given you on tonight.
Well, I'm kind of like Pastor Carver. Started out really young, and I never thought about people's color as much as I did about how they treated me. And as a young person, my mom and dad was a little bit different than most. Maybe that's why I turned out to be kind of strange.
Okay.
Is that, yeah, I saw more white people in my home growing up than I necessarily saw black people, because they thought we were some kind of pariah or something. I don't know. My dad worked. He was one of the hardest working black men I knew. He wanted to provide well for his family. My mother worked outside of the home for a long time after we got older and were in school. I worked in the cafeteria in the school. I didn't care what people thought that I did that. I was trying to help my family the best way I knew how at the age I was. And
amen.
I didn't like asking my father and mother for lunch money. I could work in the cafeteria and get my lunch for
diversity.
Free.
Yes.
And yes. As I grew older and began to work for state government, federal government, city government, I found ways of doing that inside of those government jobs. And I would travel to different states and at meetings. And I remember traveling to Providence, Rhode Island, and being in a meeting, and we were talking, and I met a lot of my red brothers and sisters there. And we were talking about how everything is political. A starving child is political because somebody keeps the food from getting to the people that need it because they can. It's a political agenda for
them. Mm-hmm.
And you know, we we could talk about what was her name? Steinem was
Gloria
there.
Gloria
Steinem was there, and I got to talk to her. And you know, she was a relatively well-off white lady, and we got to do some talking about the diversity between rich people and the movement and poor people like myself and the movement. Now, of course, money makes a difference. It does. I don't care what you say. It can't buy happiness, but it does buy the big house up on the hill, a lot of nice
clothes,
a lot of that kind of stuff. Now, I can't buy any of that stuff because I'm the poorest of the poor next to the janitor on my job and anywhere else that I go. But you know what? I knew something that they didn't know and something that they didn't have. And I had Christ Jesus. And when people dealt on me, they found out they weren't just dealing with some poor little big-eyed, long-haired, black child. They had to come past my father to get to me, my earthly father and my heavenly father. And so I wasn't worried a lot about what they thought about me. Didn't care what they thought about me. I only cared what Jesus said I could be.
Amen.
It was just so many things of that sort that other kids didn't understand about me that kind of made me different. And all I wanted to do was play and be happy. And when I was a little girl, be a little girl. And I liked to sit and listen to the older heads, but I knew not to open my mouth because then you listened, but you didn't get into grown-up conversations like kids do now. But and they would let me do that because I knew better than to say anything. So it was just a different kind of upbringing and lifestyle for me than a lot of kids had. And I am so thankful to God for it because it's made me stronger, made me love the Lord more instead of less, and it's made me see the world in which I live for what it really is and how it really is, not condemning or anything, in it for what it is. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Now, we've been talking, you know, I want people to understand, yes, there has been a lot of things went on in America. There's a lot of things that go on in a lot of countries that divide countries, that tear countries apart. But what we need to stop doing is stop focusing on the problem. And we need to start getting to the roots of things. And this is what I mean by being totally inclusive in ministry. You know, in the African American culture, you know, black women have this reputation of not taking any crap from anybody. Okay? Well, that is not true of all black women. We know that. A lot of us are not confrontational at all, you know, but that's what people believe about us, you know. So they might not be quick to want to include us in things. That's why it's so important for those who are called and sent to be initiators. If you're not going to be effective and consistently working for the kingdom of God, then you should take your sign down. Okay? If you're not going to be out there actively trying to include as many people as you can, and it doesn't matter, you know, maybe you might have to go over to Maria's and sit down and have a comida. See, I'm like you, Pastor Vanessa. I have a thing. I've always had a thing for other cultures. I have a thing for languages. I speak a lot of them, you know, and I've always been like that. And I always said, and I've always been one of these people that if I ever, you know, people say, oh, you speak fluent Spanish. Why do you do that and you're in America? And I say, because this lady right here, she's an older Hispanic lady, and she's not going to speak English. Okay? And I want, when I speak to her about the Lord, I want to give this lady honor. Since I am able to speak her language, I would like to, I like speaking to them in their language so that they will know. And it always blesses them, because if I took the time to learn their language, then they'll take the time to listen to what I have to say. So it doesn't take a lot to just include people, you know. You might be at work and, you know, there might be somebody that always sitting by themselves because they might look Indian, or they might be Indian, you know, and there's not a lot of Indians working there, or there's not a lot of Chinese Oriental people working there. Well, you might be the one that'll go over and just sit with them to let them know they're not alone on that job. You know, people act like we have to do these humongous, you know, over-the-top things.
No, little things.
All we have to do is love with the love of Jesus. All we have to do is present that gospel. We don't have to add anything to it. We don't have to sugarcoat it. We don't have to take anything away from it, because, see, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So, see, that Word is going to cut. It don't matter what nationality you are. It don't matter what your culture says. See, that's why Jesus said, I come to shake things up. You know, just think about the first Jews that told folks they love Jesus. I'm sure that shook some things up. You know?
Yes.
So you know, Christ shakes things up. And we need to be movers and shakers for Jesus, in the sense that we need to move out into the mission field, move out into the battlefield, and not just pick and choose and look and select people that we think we want to talk to, or people that look like us, or people that we think we have something in common with, but we see every single solitary soul as a soul, instead of a race, instead of an economic status, instead of social class. You know, we got to strip it all down, because in the final analysis, the money, the all the things, we're not going to take that with us. So why are we determining who we minister to by that?
Yes. Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to ask, if there's anyone that would like to have a word, you're more than welcome. Whether you are Ruth, a Naomi, or a Boaz, you are more than welcome to hit your one. And I will kindly address you with your area code and the last four digits of the phone number. But in the meantime, Pastor Vanessa, did anything else cross your mind in our talk, since the conversation has been progressing?
Yes, it did.
Crazy.
As, you know, even as you guys were talking and Mother Mitchell was sharing and everything, I think that it is simple. But it always goes back to your heart and your level of humility, which you mentioned as well, to be taught, to see, and to listen, and to witness. I think it's twofold as well. I know that a lot of times God gets in my face because he said it's not one way, it's both ways. There's things you can learn from them. There's things you need to get from them. If you allow that barrier of you seeing somebody as something as a hobby, or something as artificial or superficial or whatever the case may be, you miss out on your opportunity and your blessing, whether it's sharing a meal together, where it's about, I'm going to pray for you. There's this lady in my work. Now, she's probably born in this country, but she's Hispanic, and I have a tendency to do like you, Apostle Cook. I can understand the language and read it and everything. And so a lot of times, and I don't go around sharing that with most people, with her, she had a Christian faith, and I told her I would pray for her because we both have a dual faith. That's what we have more than common in the fact that we don't really talk about her culture at all. We don't talk about her culture at all. The strongest bond is that we're sisters in Christ. And that's it. And that, it took so many years for me to understand that that's the strongest bond and that's the most important bond. So when it comes to other cultures, I used to always feel like living where I live geographically until I lived in California, I'm like, I'm just around one race. That used to vex me so bad.
and
a lot of ways, it still vexes me. But the Lord was saying, if you want friends, make yourself friendly. Be teachable at the same time. Don't always make people feel, and it's like sometimes the unspoken languages, the things that our body language says or does is what they discern. They don't, some of them are insecure because of the language barrier. Some of them have issues with not necessarily a race more than an ethnicity as it pertains to Americans. I'm serious.
Yes,
you hear them saying
it.
Americans are this way. Americans are that way. Now, even if you may get offended by hearing that, listen to what they're saying. Listen to what they're saying. And everybody is not, and just like you were saying, everybody's not going to be so open to us, whether it's race. But I look at it this way. It's more about sometimes your ethnicity, where you are from. You're an American.
Yes.
All Black Americans do this. They watch a lot of TV. There's social media. Some people are treating us based upon a stereotype that they've been conditioned to.
That's
we do the same thing subconsciously and consciously. We got to be honest about this whole topic. And I feel like those are the factors I did want to mention because that is in play in the background. That's in the background. Whether we acknowledge it or not, it's in the background. And it's not okay to be confrontational with these people, and you know that you talk about them when you ain't around them. This group of people, they all live in the same house. They all got, you know, this ugly little stuff that we have to put down because it becomes, you're duplicitous. And people can feel that.
And so I feel like
today is a great topic because it brings all this junk out in the forefront. And I feel like on a level of, let's just say, ethnicity, and then let's start talking about Christianity.
Okay.
Now, listen, we as Christians have to learn to respect other people's religion. We don't have to agree. Because that itself could be a connection. We are not sent to everybody to convert them. But yet, God says you still need to understand them. And if I have you in a place where you need to intercede for them, then you can do so. It's not contingent upon whether they turn to the faith. That's his business and their business.
Yeah.
But be Christ-like towards them. And
that's
I think that Christ-like is not talking to them, but be teachable. There's so much we can learn from other cultures, but that's not in a book. That's not in a book.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
But I think that you're hearing my heart. I'm convicted.
Yeah.
I'm coming from a place of being very, very convicted because it's not okay. If I call myself being mature in Christ, this has to be developed. And the Lord won't push you to do certain things. He didn't push me to do certain things, but he's like, look at yourself. Is this okay? No, it's not. I'm not here to point fingers at anybody but myself.
Me too. Because, you know, and you're absolutely right. And thank you, Pastor Vanessa, for your humility. Your humility and your transparency, because you know what, I'm the same way, and and that's what I said. I said, if I want people to truly live for Christ in all their ways, then I have to first get real with me and address things that tend to come up in my face.
a lot. And I'm going to be real. I just moved back from California. And after 43 years, where every, like, diversity was everywhere. People, you know, and to come back to a place where there is, like you said, there is no real diversity. There is, you don't see other ethnicities owning businesses. You only see one ethnicity owning businesses. You don't see any other, you know, you don't see a bunch of cultural things going on. And we are a college town where people from all over the world come. But that's what I was saying at the beginning of this program. We as Americans, we tend to just want to preach and teach and come from our perspective without ever giving any thought to what someone else may actually be going through.
Yeah.
You know, we, like you said about the stereotypes, we're judging, we're basing how we minister on what we hear instead of God's word.
Yeah.
We got to do it God's way. There is no plan B with God. It's his way, period.
Or our way. Yeah.
Yep, it's his way and our way, for real. You're going to be on that long, that short highway to hell. Yes, indeed. Because whether you want to believe it or not, hell is a real place. Mm-hmm.
It is.
And some of us are going to be going there simply because we can't get over our pride and really embrace God's people and love God's people the way God says we're supposed to.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
There's going to be some of us going to hell that was called and sent by God himself. But no, somewhere along the line, we forgot who was God, who was God and who was the servant. Okay? Now, that might sound harsh, but that's real. That's real. Even God's elect are being deceived. But a lot of them's problem is they don't want to have a reachable, teachable spirit. They think they know everything.
No, they don't.
And they don't like being challenged. And that's another reason why a lot of churches don't have a strategy and plan in place to reach all of God's people. Because to be honest, they're really not that interested in what other of God's people have to say. It's all about our church, what we're doing, how we're seen, how we're being perceived.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, like I said, if you sitting in a neighborhood where you have African-Americans, you have Asians, you have Hispanics, but don't nobody in your church look like that, you got work to do.
Mm-hmm.
You got work to do. You really do. I see that we have one of our Boazes sitting up in here. We have a Minister Adam Tuggle in here, and you know, inclusion. We're talking about inclusion for you know, including our sisters, but of course, if it pertains to the sisters, it's going to pertain to the brothers as well. So I'm going to check in with Little Brush to see if he has a word. Minister Adam. Okay. All right. I just had to check now. I don't like to leave nobody, you know, out in it, you know, not give someone a chance to minister with us. So I just praise God for this conversation. I pray that we as sisters will start looking at all our sisters as our sisters and that we will start doing more to lift them up where they're at. And that means dealing with them, coming from their circumstances, looking at things from their point of view, you know, allowing yourself to be taught something about their cultures. And then you will know, and when you do that, check this out. You'll be an even better sister because you'll know how to pray for them effectively. You know, You will know how God will open up opportunities for you to be there, to be for that sister or that brother. And it won't matter what nationality they are, you know? So, again, I just pray that you all was blessed by this teaching. I just want us to start doing, and we expect to live in heaven with the Lord. I just, you know, I know he expects us to live like that now down here. So I want to thank my beautiful sister and friend, Pastor Vanessa Carver. You can hear her, hallelujah, on tomorrow night for her program, Wounded No More. I really love this sister's teachings. It's one of my favorite programs because I just love the way she just comes straight from the Word of God. And she, too, has a reachable, teachable spirit. And she's always learning and digging. And, you know, she doesn't mind sharing what God has shared with her. So, Pastor, I'm going to ask that you bind this teaching in prayer, and I will close the program. And, Mother Mitchell, did you have any final comments?
Just the other day, a friend of mine that I've met since I've been living out here, we were talking, and I said, you know, one of the charities I give out of my little bit to is the Christian and Jewish Foundation. And she said, why do you do that? You're not Jewish. I said, baby, I know that. Neither are you. But you go to a church over here across the highway and sit with other white people, and you give to that church. You're not kin to all of them either. I said, but it's necessary sometimes. The Lord says, take care of my people, and that's the Jewish people. I believe we are part of that Jewish family of the Lord as well. But these are old Holocaust survivors, and they just touch my heart when I see them.
Amen.
And I don't always have anything and a lot to give, but every once in a while I have $25, $35, whatever I can, I spend.
Amen.
Thank you, Bishop. That's all I wanted to add. You have to give where the Lord tells you and what the Word says about what you
should
give and what you should give.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mom. Thank you. And amen. Again, because what you said was on point. You know, again, we just have to make sure that when we're ministering, that we're ministering with an attitude, with a, you know, we want to be gospel-centered. We want to be eternity-minded. You know, we want to share the love of Christ with everyone. And then we want to do it with love and humility. You know, too many times, you know, people in ministry a lot of times just come at people. Here's another thing. You know, for instance, when you go into I did prison ministry for over 30 years. And in that prison, you will see some of all kinds of people up in there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But what they all agreed on was this. They detested when people, so-called religious people, would come in with their chest all puffed up with an attitude, we're coming to save you heathen.
Mm-mm.
We can't reach anybody if we're walking around with our chest puffed out, talking about we're American. You know, you're in America. I'm an American. You know. You got to do it this way. No, we all have to do it God's way.
Yes.
Because only his kingdom is going to stand for all of eternity. So, Pastor Vanessa, won't you come and bind the lesson, please, ma'am?
Yes, ma'am. I just thank God for this topic again. I just thank you, Lord, today for this opportunity to make your agenda big in our lives. Thank you, Lord, today that agenda as it pertains to other nations. I thank you, Lord, today that we begin to open up our ears and our hearts to you about what you're saying in the kingdom about other nations and diversity and how you define inclusion. I thank you, Lord, today that this doesn't just stop with this conversation, Lord, that you expose all those things in our hearts, reveal and restore us, Father God, to a place of true ministry and love for our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world, mm-hmm. whether they're our neighbors, whether they come from a cultural perspective than we do or social, wherever there's differences, I believe that's what Apostle Cook's heart was from as it pertains to diversity.
Yeah.
May not be a neighbor who speaks another language. Maybe your issue is with someone who is in marginalized in this society. I thank you, Lord, today for you speaking so clearly to us and letting us start from the beginning that we have your heart and your mind, and that we have a heart that is for your people at the end, and for souls.
Yeah.
For souls,
yeah.
At the end of the day, that we get teachable and become more humble in these areas where you will impart great understanding, knowledge, and wisdom in us so that we can go forth in the rest of this year, this time next year. We can have this conversation again, and I thank you, Lord, today that it'll be able to produce much fruit from what we've heard, not just about another person, but what change has been developed in us. What place of arrested development is no longer arrested? And that we're consistently growing and growing in you. Bless the speaker and bless everyone on this line, even those who will listen to this in the archives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Vanessa. Hey, I'm scrolling. Okay, you now look, there's no secret that your big sister will be over here scrolling. Is this Dr. Susie in the house? I see you. Is she still sitting down here? Hold on. Good evening, Dr. Susie. Look, I'll be checking on my family members, honey. I'll be making sure. I don't want them to say, "Oh, Apostle, I was sitting up in your program, and you didn't even call on me." So I'll be checking, honey. I'll be checking. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because I just, you know, but I want to praise God. Thank you for that prayer. Thank you again, Mother Mitchell, Pastor Vanessa. You know, I'm always, you can always tell a mark of a true Christ follower, especially in servant leadership, because, you know, you ladies are the ones that always show up and always want to learn and always are ready to stand and agree and touch and agree and pray and agree. And I just want, you know, you are truly soul sisters, and I just want to say how much I appreciate you. So, and we appreciate each and every person that is listening tonight, whether you spoke or whether you did not. We just want to say thank you, all of you in the chat room. Thank you for listening. Mm-hmm. We thank you for continuing to walk with all of us here on the Spirit Alive Network. We have some phenomenal, phenomenal teachers here, and I'm just very blessed to call them my family and my friends. So as I said earlier, you can join Pastor Vanessa Carver tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Wounded No More. And she is really, really teaching us to be overcomers. Hallelujah. This is not about, you know, a pity party. This is about a celebrating overcoming. So we are praising God for that. You can hear Mother Mitchell every Sunday morning at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. She is the mother of our assembly, and you can hear on various programs here on the Spirit Alive Network, just as you do with Pastor Vanessa. So on behalf of myself and my sisters and all the Spirit Alive family that was present, we just want to thank you for listening. We pray that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us Daughters of Naomi and the Spirit Alive Network. Good night, dear sisters. I love you so. God bless you all.
Love you both.
Good night, everybody.
Love you.
God bless. Love you.
God bless you.